Loving Heavenly Father, we are ever grateful to you. Because, Father, we have a whole book that we get to read that states what your promises are, that gives us that assurance that you have a future planned for us, a future that will not harm us, but instead will prosper us. And Lord, we stand on those promises. In fact, as the lyrics of that, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust in anything else. I know those aren't the lyrics. But I dare not trust in anything else, but only upon you, Father. Lead this time that we have together, Father. Let your influence, let your spirit be the true influence here. Let your words come through to us this morning and touch us just exactly where we're at. Because you truly know where each and every one of us are right now. And Father, may we take every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Let your words speak to us this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, promises, oaths, and vows. Oh, no! Promises, oaths, and vows. Believers, how secure would you feel if you didn't have God's promises? Right? There'd be no bottom of that abyss, right? We just keep falling and falling and falling if we did not have God's promises, right? So let me turn that around for you. How secure do you think you make God feel when you make promises to Him? Pastor, that was mean. No. It's just a true assessment. Because many of us make a lot of promises to Him. And we have predecessors that did that. The nation Israel made many promises to God throughout the Old Testament and broke many of them as well. So they're not unlike us. And we might think, well, yeah, but God is a God of grace and mercy. Plus, He's perfect and we are not. So, of course, He's able to keep His promises, but I'm not always able to keep all of mine. God is all-knowing. He knows when I'm going to make a pledge and also when I'm going to break that word that I've made to Him. Numbers chapter 30, verse 2 says, and listen to these words if you would, please. Just shut everything else off. Turn off the TV. Oh, yeah, we don't have TV on. Listen to these words from God. When a man makes a vow, and that includes women, okay, just so you know. When a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. Let me ask you this question. And this is a personal question and your reaction. Do you get upset when something or someone doesn't fulfill their promise to you? Right? If we get upset in the natural realm, what do you think God does? when we make promises, oh, Lord, this time I'm going to follow after you. Nothing's going to persuade me any other way. I am, you know, my life is fulfilled for by you and nothing else. And then a temptation comes, oh, well, except that. Ooh, this is fun. Yeah, but you said you'd follow me. Well, yeah, but everybody else is doing this. Yeah, but I called you. I thought you had dedicated yourself to me, that you were going to keep yourself only for me. Yeah, but God, these people are having fun over here, and I want to be just like them. I don't want to be separate. But I've called you to be separate and set apart onto me, and you promised that you would. What's happened to your promise? Well, God, you're a God of grace and mercy, right? And I'm to assume you're not a person of your word? I'm sure that God and I have had that conversation a couple of times. And I'm not going to push it, but I bet every one of us here has probably had that conversation with God. The remorse of not fulfilling our promises to a holy God. And again, when a man makes a vow to the Lord or takes an oath to obligate himself by a pledge, he must not break his word, but must do everything he said. The title of today's message is Looking Forward. Promises, promises. Psalm 15, verse 1. We ought to have this one down by memory by now, I would think. Lord, who may dwell in your sanctuary, who may live on your holy hill? Those who despise flagrant sinners, honor the faithful followers of the Lord, and keep their oaths even when it hurts. Now, the last couple of weeks, we talked about the despising flagrant sinners. Last week, we talked about honoring the faithful followers of the Lord. This week, those who keep their oaths even when it hurts. Have you ever had to promise, or you didn't have to promise something, but you promised to do something, and then when it actually came time to do that thing that you had promised, that you were like, oh man, I wish I hadn't promised to do that? Been a couple instances in my life. Let me tell you about a gentleman in the Old Testament out of Judges chapter 11. His name was Jephthah. And Jephthah was the son of a prostitute. And his father had brought on another wife and had other sons with her. And as they grew older, these sons by the father's new wife said, you know what, you're kind of a cursed son. You're the curse, you're the child of a prostitute. We don't want you in our home. And so he was rejected by his family. Jephthah took that and went out in the world, said, you know what, fine, I'll make a name for myself. And obviously he was able to find others who have been rejected. You know, and that's the way it is in the world. It's always easy to find people that feel rejected. Amen? Well, Jephthah became a man of war. And his band of brothers, if you'd call it that, they also became marauders that went around, and they were known very much for their skill in war and battle. Well, it came time that the nation Judah had an enemy that came up against them, the Ammonites. And the people of Judah didn't really have a strong warring leader And they'd heard these rumors about Jephthah and his band of merry men, if you would. And so they threw out an invitation. Jephthah, if you and your men would join and lead us in battle against the Ammonites, we'll make you our leader. And Jephthah thought, well, wait a minute. You didn't want me around before because of who you thought I descended from, but now, because I've made a name for myself, now you want me to come and help you out with this war? Yeah, and what are you going to do for me again? Well, we're going to make you a leader. He goes, I'm sorry, I'm not quite hearing you. You want me to just lead your people in battle, but then afterwards I go where? You know, if I die on the battlefield, that's one thing, but if I'm victorious, I'm just going to be your leader and then you're going to push me off again? No, I don't think so. I'm going to negotiate a contract with you. If you want me to come and lead you in battle, then if I am victorious, you will make me your ruler. And the men of Judah went, sounds good. We'll take you up on your offer, Jephthah, because they thought for sure the Ammonites were just going to run over them. Well, Jephthah, having this new contract, this new pledge with the tribe of Judah, went out and he sought after the Lord. He said, Lord, I need your strength, your guidance. Will you give me victory over the Ammonites? And if you will, Lord God, I will dedicate the first thing that comes out of my house when I return from battle. I will sacrifice that to you. And so the Lord said, okay. I'll take you up on your offer, Jephthah. And he gave Jephthah victory in that battle over the Ammonites. And then he comes back. And you can imagine, you know, you've seen victories after football games, right? Or basketball games or, you know, in sports. Well, victory over a big war like this is celebrated in the same way. And Jephthah came back in the lead of all the battlers that had gone with him, the fighters. And the first thing that he saw when he came back that came running out, because remember, his promise to God was, the first thing that greets me out of my home when I come back, which he was thinking it was going to be his mangy old dog or something, right? Instead, it's his only daughter. His only daughter. The story talks about that his wife and his son had died. And so the only prodigy that he had was his daughter, and he loved his daughter very much, but she comes running out of the house. And so from victory to all of a sudden grief, oh, my daughter. Oh, you grieve my heart. Why, Dad? You had a great victory. Now you're going to be the leader of Judah. Yeah, but daughter, you've got to understand. I made a pledge to the Lord. Well, Daddy, what was your pledge? What was your vow? I told him that the first thing that met me as I came back, that I would sacrifice to the Lord. Then, Daddy, you need to keep your pledge to the Lord because he gave you victory. Wow. Can you imagine the maturity of this young daughter? She goes, Daddy, she says, I've only got one request of you. And he says, what's that, my daughter? She said, before you sacrifice me, may I have 2 months to go out with my friends into the hills and commiserate the fact that I will be a virgin the rest of my life. And he says, go, my daughter. And she goes out for two months, and she comes back. And the Bible says that she lived as a virgin. She did not conceive for the rest of her years. She was dedicated unto the Lord. Now, some of us would say, well, wait a minute. God's not a God that likes human sacrifices, right? And yet, what did he tell Abraham to do? To take his son out and to put him on an altar, right? What did God do with his own son? He sacrificed his own son. So yeah, this would be an acceptable thing to God. And yet the Bible doesn't say whether or not he truly sacrificed her, but it says she was a virgin the rest of her days. Now think about this. Jephthah then had no one of his lineage after that. So in a way, Jephthah's lineage died right after that as well. So, it makes me think about, are we rash sometimes with some of our promises that we make to God? Yeah, we are. Oh, Lord, if you will only do this, I'll be yours forever, right? If you can only get me through this sticky part of life, Lord, I'm your man, I'm your woman, I will serve you. And God sees us through it. And then somehow, somewhere down the road, we forget the promises that we've made to God. According to Numbers, when you make a vow to the Lord, don't break your word. Keep it. Has God ever broken any of his promises? Not one. And we are to be a people that live and serve under God. And so if we make a vow to God, we must fulfill it. It hurt Jephthah. I mean, it pained him to his heart to have to do that with his daughter. And sometimes it's going to call us to sacrifice some comfort in our life to keep our promises onto God. But here's the definition of oath. This is your first fill-in on your outline. It's inside the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. An oath. Oath is to give one's, read this with me, please. Oath is to give one's sacred, unbreakable promise as testimony that one will faithfully keep one's word to do or not to do a certain thing which is spoken to another person or to God. That's what making an oath is, right? Is to give one's sacred, unbreakable promise as a testimony. I was trying to think of different things that we do when we make promises, when we take an oath. Can you all help me with things that we might do? What are things that we might promise? Tithing is definitely in the Bible. You know, I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me, God. And we use his name when we say that. And so in a court of law, we are called to say nothing but the truth. Well, why just in a court of law? Right? I mean, as believers, truth should, in fact, that was one of the things that came out of Psalm 15, is that we speak the truth from our hearts, right? That we are to be truthful people. So that's one of those things that as believers we do. What are other ways that we take oaths? Marriage vows? Good. Excellent. Yep. We make vows that we're going to what? Love, honor, cherish, scrub the sink, clean the clothes, iron the, make a living. Yeah, right? But you, Danielle, and you bring up a very good point. We sign papers for homes, right? That's all based on our signature. I will repay you this huge amount of money for a place for me to be warm and dry and live and raise my family in. You know, so we obligate ourselves. We take an oath when we sign papers for our home. For automobiles, we do the same thing, especially at the price of automobiles. I just bought an automobile that was more than my first house that I ever bought. And I looked at that, I looked at the final cost, and I was like, you got to be kidding me. But that's the way that our money is just being dumbed down to not have much value anymore. But oath. You know, until we got real logistic or litigious in our ways, this used to be the only oath that a man used to have to give. You gave your right hand. This is called the right hand of promise. And so that's why whenever I do perform marriage ceremonies, I have the couple hold right hands. And I instruct them that this is the hand of promise. This is the one that represents the truth that what you are going to say and what you are going to vow before this other person that you are joining together with for the rest of your life, and that you're making vows to God about, that I will love them until one of us dies. It's an oath. On your outline, you have a quote there in italics. Would you read that with me, please? The motivation to get through tough times is the hope of reward that waits at the end of the persevered journey. The motivation to get through tough times is the hope of reward that waits at the end of the persevered journey. Anybody like that quote? It's kind of tough, isn't it? But it gives us a real promise. I have that quote on these cards. So if you'd like a card to just kind of put up and hold on to, Brother Michael here will pass those out to you. And it's the same thing that's inside your bulletin, but it's just a mobile way for you to put it in your car. Put it on your mirror in the morning, wherever, you know, put it in your Bible. Use it as a Bible marker, that the motivation to get through tough times is the hope of reward that waits at the end of a persevered journey. What's our persevered journey? Life, right? This is the journey that all of us are on. And our hope of reward is what? Is what awaits at the end of our journey, right? Which, for those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that hope of reward is God's everlasting presence. Amen? So that helps to motivate me to get through tough times. That, Lord God, you know that this is only a day or a nanosecond as far as compared to all eternity. This is just a short amount. Help me to realize that in your thinking, that the motivation for me to get through these tough times is the fact that you are going to reward me for staying true to the promises that I make to you. Matthew chapter 5, verses 33 to 37. Read this with me, if you would, please. It's in your bulletin. If you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but keep your oaths you made to the Lord. But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is God's footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot even make one of your hairs white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no be no. Anything beyond this comes from the devil. Jesus. Jesus said these words. And the reason why Jesus said these words is because the teachers of the law, the Pharisees, were kind of confronting him about his teaching and the things that he was teaching. And they kept making little slips. They would say, well, if you swear by the thing that you put on the altar, that it's the altar that makes it righteous. It's not the thing that you put there. And so they had all these excuses as to why you didn't have to keep your promises. And so Jesus comes out with this teaching that says, look, you don't swear at all, either by heaven, and yet, I'm sorry. I mean, I really am sorry at how many times I hear God's name used in vain. Or Jesus' name used in vain. Right? I mean, all the time. I don't have any more, Michael. But I'm sorry. For those of you that didn't get one, I'll make some more up this week. And please get those from me last week. Thought I made enough, man. Didn't know y'all be showing up. But yeah, praise God for that. But don't swear. One of the catchphrases that seems to be around anymore, and people don't use the whole phrase anymore. Instead, they just use letters. OMG. OMG. And what are they saying? Oh my God. That's swearing. That's taking God's name in vain. And yet, it's okay. The rest of the world's doing it. Christians, it's not okay language. You are using the Lord's name in vain. Don't use that phrase. And in fact, help teach somebody else that might be using it. I used to get upset on the fire department because the guys would go, they would use God's name. And I tried that, that warm, just appealing to their sanity. I go, Jesus is my friend. Would you stop using his name that way? And what did I do? I only made him use it more. And then God took me to Isaiah chapter 52. And he said, all day long my name will be blasphemed. Therefore they will know that it is I who have said so. And I was like, okay, God, help me out with understanding the scripture. And he says, well, Don, don't worry about my name. I can take care of my name, because also in my commands, I say anybody that will misuse my name, they will be judged. They'll be judged for that. He says, but one of the reasons that the Lord's name is used so much in our world is that when my son returns, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess him as Lord. He said, so what these people mean for evil, I have meant for good. I'll take care of my name, Don. So the next time that I heard this fireman using this language, I'm going, yes, brother, you keep going. You keep doing that. And go, well, Tidge, you totally lost it now. I go, no. I said, you're evangelizing God's name. He goes, what? I said, yeah. I said, there was this dude, Isaiah, like 3,000 years ago, somewhere around there. He wrote that today you would be misusing his son's name. And you know why? No, why? Because when he returns, your knees are going to buckle. And you'll proclaim him as Lord. I said, you keep using his name because you are evangelizing the rest of the world. You think I heard it anymore?
Go figure, right? No, I want you to. God's going to take care of it. He's going to clean up all that stuff. Woohoo!
Your last fill-in. There is one promise. There is one promise that God desires you to keep. And that is the promise to love Him above everything. And to love others as you love yourself. So there's one promise that God desires you to keep. The promise to love Him above everything. And to love others as you love yourself. Matthew 22 verses 37 to 40 says those very words from Jesus. He says what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Jesus. Jesus said those words. So if we truly love our neighbors as we love ourselves, then let me ask you, were your hearts broken like I was when 21 Coptic Christians were assassinated by ISIS? Those are our brothers beheaded because they would not say Allah is God. Instead, they held to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And you know why I was like, okay, anybody else confused about what a Coptic Christian is? Right? Would you like to know? Because I looked it up, because I didn't know what a Coptic Christian was. And as I researched it, a Coptic Christian is an Egyptian Christian. Egyptian Christian. And they follow the Egyptian Orthodox Church. Henceforth, their name is Coptic instead of Egyptian. They're the Coptic Christians. And they are just like you and me. They believe in their Lord Jesus Christ. But even what was even more interesting about this research is Jesus began this work there in Egypt. Jesus began this work in Egypt. And to this day, it is still going on. And people are still standing for the name of Jesus Christ. I got to be honest with you. If a group of ISIS fighters came through these doors with swords drawn, would you stand for Jesus? Would you let them kill you for your beliefs? Hopefully, each and every one of us would boldly say, I am not going to denounce my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we do that for what? For our pride? Absolutely not. We do it to honor our Lord and Savior. There's only one promise that God desires you to keep, the promise to love Him above everything. And when I say everything, God means everything. Love God first above everything. If there's something that has a hold of you that gets a higher priority than God, let it go. God is your number one priority. God is your number one lover. Hello? Listen to me. God desires to be your number one lover. And He is a jealous God. He wants no other gods before Him. But I just got to have me a woman. I just got to have me a man. No, you don't. What makes you complete is God. And if he wants to add to your life a mate, he'll do it. Don't strive for it. But pray for it. Pray for a godly mate, a godly person to come alongside of you and to help encourage you in your relationship with God. Pray together. Read Scripture together. Now, a PSA, public service announcement. I am just really, tomorrow, we begin a 40 days of focus, 40 days of prayer and fasting. It's the Orthodox Lent season, if you will. But it's the beginning of 40 days of prayer and fasting. And no, I'm not asking you to stop all food for the next 40 days. But what I am asking you to do is to pray about what object, if it was removed from your day, from your schedule, from your life, would cause you not just hunger pains, because hunger pains is not the object, but cause you to pray more. What if the removal of that one thing would cause you or give you time to pray more? Give that up for 40 days. God's challenged me in a new way, and that I see it as four series of tens for 40 days. So for the first 40 days, Roger, I'm sorry, but I'm giving up exercise. So just PSA to you, personal one. That's a personal service announcement. But for the first 10 days, I'm giving up things in my life. What about TV? Could you give up TV? Could you give up texting for 10 days? Sharon goes, yeah, I don't even own one of those stupid phones. But what could the removal of that one thing cause you to be in prayer, to be in communion with God more? You know,
fine, I'm going to quit work for 40 days.
Then I'll really be praying for a new job. Don't go there. Anyway, so the challenge is out there. And you know what? It's not for me to be bragging about. And in fact, it's not for you to be bragging about. But it is just a discipline for us to go through. Now, what the Holy Spirit's been leading me to in the last couple of days, in fact, kept me awake last night through my stupid barking dog. Bart. And so anyway, as I was laying there because he was so rudely interrupting my sleep, I just really felt led by the Lord that, you know what? Tomorrow, starting at 8 a.m., going till 8 p.m. tomorrow night, I'm going to be here in the sanctuary praying and fasting. Come if the Spirit leads you. I'm not going to have any specially organized time. In fact, I want that time from 8 to 8 tomorrow to be kind of a monastic type of involvement. In other words, you come in here and not one word is spoken to another person. You come here only to speak to God. And I'm going to be here from 8 to 8 tomorrow, 12 hours, just seeking God's presence. Because it's the very beginning of this 40 days of prayer and fasting, and I'm going to be praying for you, that you will decide to give something up for God, to pray for His kingdom come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Will you join me in a prayer effort, please? And again, it's not for my benefit. It's for your benefit. Loving Heavenly Father, we talked about promises this morning, and I just kind of left it out there right now, Lord, as people making a promise to you, a promise to be in prayer and to be in fasting, to hear from you, to allow you to bring a breakthrough in our life, to move in a mighty way. Father, I might be praying and fasting for your Holy Spirit to break through the bonds of darkness in somebody's life. I could be praying for a new job opportunity. I could be praying for health. Lord, it's what you lay upon our hearts to ask for. But also, Lord God, prayer is all about listening to you as well. It's not about the grocery lists that we come to you with. Well, God, we need to have this done. We need to have this done. It's about sitting quietly before you and hearing from you. Lord, open up our ears that we might hear from you. And guard our ears that we hear nothing but your voice and not the voice of this world. As I trust in you with all of my heart, and I don't lean on my own understanding, but in all of my ways, I acknowledge you. And I ask you to direct my path. In Jesus' name, amen.